Celebrate the historic 100th Greeley Stampede, June 23rd through July 4th, featuring concerts, rodeo, carnival, and more. Tickets available at GreeleyStampede.org.
After the 1 o'clock hour, welcome back into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy, live from the Allo Communications Studios. I'm Brady Hull. We got a new Method Flow Products poll question up because I feel like it wasn't fair. Bradley Chubb's there today, so got to take him out of the poll question name. Listen, the question is still there. This is OTAs. Melvin Gordon's not there. It's still a debate every single year. I call it the yearly who's there, who's not. Watch with OTAs, and we'll talk to Zach Stevens about what that really means coming up and what's the vibe like with Russell Wilson as we're getting closer and closer to that football field. It's May 24th, Jades. Ever since I moved up here to Greeley, well, I don't live in Greeley anymore, but ever since I moved to this area, I always said this because I used to work for a city job before I got the radio gig. I always thought around here it was like, okay, you go to OTAs, you get through graduation and state preps and all that stuff. Then it's the Stampede madness around here for like a month of June. After the Stampede, it's Broncos time. It's Broncos time. We got training camp in the month of July, and you start looking at preseason and everything. So we've only got really about a little over a month of no more real Broncos time. So just get ready. It's going to be crazy. And of course, nobody does it better than us here at KFK when it comes to football. We're going to be the voice of the Rockies. Rockies. That's done. We'll still be the voice of the Rockies, to be respectful. The voice of the Broncos up here, Northern Colorado, home of the Broncos. The voice of the UNC Bears with Ed McCaffrey in his second full real year as a head coach of this team. We carry high school football like you wouldn't believe. Thursday night football, Friday night football, and Saturdays when we can make time for it. We got scoreboard shows on Friday nights. And, of course, all the Broncos, Rams, Bears, Buffs, NFL, NCAA, you can handle right here on the whole show. I know it's May 24th. I'm just putting it in your calendar. Football talk coming here on KFK. How concerned are you about a Nuggets future without Tim Conley? Very or meh or not at all. Go vote at thewholeshow.com. Chris Dempsey brings up some good points. Okay, 66% of the hooligans are saying meh. So you're kind of saying, yeah, it's the general manager. I don't know. I get it. I get where you're coming from with that. But you're acting like he didn't do anything. He had to make some tough moves. You know, drafting Nikola Jokic was not... Okay, John Elway drafting Von Miller was like, duh. Second pick. He's arguably the best player in the draft. Got to get him. Then, of course, John Elway didn't draft Josh Allen and then Brad and Brian Chubb. But for Tim Conley to draft Nikola Jokic, that's reaching in. And again, that's the second round. It's not a huge risk. Small risk, gigantic reward for the Nuggets there. He took Jamal Murray at 7. He took Emmanuel Mudiay at 7 the year before that, let's not forget. Same position, essentially. Here's what I love, but also gives me ease with Tim Conley. Conley made mistakes. Don't think he hasn't. He made mistakes. And we'll get to our NFL segment here in just a moment, but he did make mistakes. Emmanuel Mudiay was a mistake. I was excited about Emmanuel Mudiay, man. Dare I say, I was more excited about Emmanuel Mudiay than the prospect of Jamal Murray. I liked Mudiay's story. Kind of a very unconventional type point guard. Liked how he took it to the rim. Didn't work out. So here's how it went down for Tim Conley. In 2013, they traded that pick to Utah. They drafted Rudy Gobert. The next year, in 2014, was the year he got So they did the Doug McDermott thing, but then they drafted McDermott. That got traded for Gary Harris. That worked out. We all know that worked well. Obviously, Nikola Jokic in the second. 2015, he drafted Emmanuel Mudiay at number 7. He already knew it wasn't going to work out. So this is what I like about Tim Connelly, is that he would look at something and he wouldn't let it fester. He didn't say, okay, well, let's just let it breathe for a while. No, he saw the writing on the wall with Mudiay, and then he struck when he saw Jamal Murray. And drafted Jamal Murray, essentially same position. Mudiay was more of a point guard. Jamal was more of a 2. But you knew you could play them both. He replaced him. I mean, they tried it with those two for a bit, but didn't work out. He replaced it, moved on. He got Monte Morris in the second round of 2017. Also, that was the Donovan Mitchell year that people hate. But that pick was already traded. That pick was already traded, and Utah called Denver and said, hey, draft Donovan Mitchell. And Denver said, okay. That's how that went down. So you can argue that Denver made a bad call at the beginning to deal with Utah there, but that was who Utah wanted them to pick because it was their pick. 18, they took a chance on Michael Porter Jr. Everybody passed because of injuries. He took a chance. Listen, folks, I like Michael Porter Jr. That draft pick and the contract extension have yet to pan out. That's just the way it is. Number 14, pretty good pick, right? That has yet to pan out, especially with the new contract. Zeke Nnaji was next, and you know, he battled some injuries this year, and we'll see how he turns out. He looked like he was taking a step, but then kind of faltered a bit. Bones Highland, obviously high on this guy. Everything about this guy I like. I think he's going to be a big piece to the puzzle next year. So Calvin Booth has his hands full. I wanted to get into more with Chris, but you look at this roster. What do you do about Will Barton? Isn't the best move? Okay, Calvin Booth is going to go sign Nikola Jokic right here. Here, Nikola, write it on my back. You don't even need a table or anything. Calvin Booth's a tall guy, but still, here, write it on my back, man. Just sign it. I'll be out of here. Here, love you. Keep doing the horses thing. Love it. Great. Wear a helmet. Be safe. We'll see you come preseason workouts. Get that deal done. And Chris, of course, this is true. Stuff that we don't care about because it's boring, but it's not. It's real. Structure front office. He's got to figure out who are his guys. He's got to get that done. Chris says the second unit. Is the second unit, is that more important than the Will Barton situation? Are we done with Will Barton or not? He's got one more year on his contract. Do you ride it out? Do you really want to ride this thing out again? Now, you could keep him and just put him on the bench and try to strengthen that, because it's going to go like this. It should go like this, in my mind. I believe Jamal Murray should start at number 2, regardless. I think that you should go with Murray as a 2 guard instead of a point guard. It doesn't matter as much who the point guard is on this team. You're starting with Nikola Jokic at the top of the 3-point line most of the time anyway. So I would go Jamal Murray at number 2, and either Monte Morris or Bones Highland at 1. Maybe you start with Morris at 1, and then with the idea that either way, your bench is stronger with one of those guys. So let's just say Monte Morris, for seniority rights, is 1. 2 is Jamal Murray. 3 is Michael Porter Jr. 4 is Aaron Gordon. 5 is Nikola Jokic. You're going to pay, if you take my plan, you're going to pay $16.5 million to Will Barton to come off the bench at 31. That's why it's a tough pill to swallow for probably Calvin Booth, for Michael Malone to look at that. Well, Michael doesn't care as much about the contracts. But that's an interesting debate. I don't think they should start Will Barton anymore, but you're going to put $16.6 million off the bench? Now, if he was sixth man of the year, okay, justifies the contract a little bit, but he's not. He's far from it. 14 minutes after the hour. Before we break, we got to do it today in the NFL. Let's bust into it. Sources are telling Jeremy Fowler of ESPN that the NFL is discussing the future of the Pro Bowl. Not discussing whether or not they're going to have the Pro Bowl, but to discussing whether or not they're going to eliminate tackling in the Pro Bowl. Then what are we doing here? The NFL owners are discussing the future of the Pro Bowl at this week's league meetings. A source confirmed to ESPN after multiple media outlets reported the news. They have spoken to players and NFL teams, now exploring alternatives to the weekend Pro Bowl celebration, which could include the elimination of the traditional tackle game. No vote is needed to approve a change. The NFL, while exploring this with players and television partners, hopes to have a decision this summer. I mean, nobody watches it anymore. There's players backing out left and right. It doesn't mean anything. Now, here's two schools of thought here, Jades. If you make money off of it, do it. Now, people like me like to bitch and go, nobody watches that garbage. Stop doing it. If you make a profit on it, do it. But the other side of me is like, dude, this muddies the Pro Bowl waters. Like, doesn't it drive you crazy that the NFL has all pro and Pro Bowl? Like, he made it to the Pro Bowl, but he was in all pro. All pro is what you want to be. Pro Bowl, we know. If you're the fifth guy selected, you could get in because, well, Super Bowl champ's not going. Super Bowl teams aren't going. A lot of guys are hurt. A lot of guys want to start their vacation. I always say, just make it an honor. And it's, you got one quarterback, maybe two from each side, NFC, AFC, one running back, one wide receiver, one tight end. Make that the award. And then have a skills competition. Have a fun skills competition in Hawaii or whatever. And just do those kind of things. The 40-yard dash. Probably no weightlifting because you don't want to get hurt. 40-yard dash, quarterback skills competition, kicking competition, things like that. But if you make money, I'm not going to argue with it. There it is, 16 minutes after the hour. We got a short break coming up. We're talking to our Broncos insider. I'll tell you, this guy, he is in the know. We'll get the latest on OTAs and Russell Wilson and Bradley Chubb and Melvin Gordon and so much more with Zach Stevens of DNVR Broncos. Short break coming up. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Baseball season, and the Colorado Rockies can be heard on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Celebrate the historic 100th Greeley Stampede, June 23rd through July 4th, featuring concerts, rodeo, carnival, and more. Tickets available at GreeleyStampede.org.
Hi, this is Jesse Kurtz, executive producer and lead anchor of the Mountain West Network, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. Welcome back to the Allo Communications Studios. This is The Whole Show. We've got the one and only Zach Stevens of DNVR Broncos, our Broncos insider here. Zach, my man, OTAs. I think one of the main things that we talk about first with OTAs is who's there, who's not. It's like the Oscars. What did they wear? This is who's there and who's not. So yesterday, Melvin Gordon, Bradley Chubb, Kareem Jackson. Am I missing anybody? That was yesterday.
Yes, correct. That was yesterday. Melvin Gordon, Kareem Jackson. Those were the big two who weren't there for non-injury related reasons. And we believe that Kareem Jackson was not there yesterday because he was attending his daughter's graduation. Bradley Chubb was also not there. I had heard there were some logistical issues of him getting back to Denver in time, and that proved to be the case as he was there today, Brady. But Melvin Gordon, not a surprise that we did not see him out there because he has not been an OTA's guy. I think that's actually how he said it in the past. He's not an OTA's guy, so with his absence yesterday, I don't expect him to be here until mandatory minicamp in the middle of June.
All right, so where are you on that then with Melvin Gordon? If you look at his yard totals the last couple of years, these last 2 years with the Broncos specifically, they haven't really dropped off. Two of his better years in his career, 918 and 986, they rival two of his top years with the Chargers. But at the same time, you got a new quarterback, you got a new head coach, you got a new system. Where do you line up on this? I know it's voluntary, but would you have liked to see Melvin Gordon on hand?
Without a doubt, Brady. And now it is voluntary, yes. But saying that, It's not going to hurt his paycheck. It's not going to hurt anything like that. It's not going to hurt his standing with the team. But, Brady, you just said it. The Broncos have a new quarterback. They have a new head coach. They have a new offensive coordinator. They have a new offensive system. You can't be learning this as effectively when you're on the road and you're not there with your team. So 100%, I think it's important that everyone is there, especially for this year. And I actually really like what Justin Simmons said yesterday. He played the company line a little bit, saying, you know, it's voluntary. But then he said, you know, these are new systems, and the best way to learn them is by being there. And now, will I view it the same next year when it's the same system? Probably not. It won't be as important. And I think he nailed it right on the head. It's very important. And then on top of all of that, Brady, you put on that he's in a running back competition for the starting job, for reps, to get on his quarterback and his head coach's good side. Now, that can all go away if he goes out there week one and rushes for 5 yards per carry and does that throughout the season. Of course, then that's going to be okay. The most important thing is that he's ready for training camp. And part of that is having your body physically ready. And I know that Melvin Gordon is a guy that works his tail off in the offseason. So I have no doubt his body is going to be ready. But another part of that is the mental side. And he can see the playbook when he's out in California. But you do miss something not being here for these practices.
Yeah, and especially you're trying to kind of build that up. And we, you know, what we know about Russell Wilson, and Zach, you can speak on this certainly more than me. It seems like these would be good things to be involved with. Russell doesn't seem like the kind of guy that doesn't show up to this kind of thing. I mean, he seemed like he's going to do more. He's going to create his own OTAs before the OTAs. So you just got to wonder, like, how that ultimately works. And again, these guys have been in the league so long now, they get used to it. But you just wonder. You want to see this team put their best foot forward. And Melvin Gordon's back with Denver. And I was happy to see Bradley Chubb, though. I will say that. I was very happy to see him out there today via your Twitter.
Yeah, and I was happy as well, especially because Randy Gregory's not going to be out there this offseason, Brady, because he's recovering from that shoulder surgery. And we know that the health of that position is going to be so key for this team. And honestly, the biggest question mark, the biggest gamble for this team. And if Bradley Chubb wasn't showing up all offseason, or if he had an injury he was dealing with, boy, that would just really, really cause some big alarms to go off. But I do think it was just him being able to get back into town before yesterday's is what delayed him not being there. And Brady, one point on Russ and Melvin really quick that you touched on. We talked to Russ after practice yesterday, probably for about 12 minutes. 5 of those minutes, he was very seriously talking about his commitment to winning, his commitment to excellence, his commitment to doing everything you can every single day, every single minute of every single day in order to win. And when you have a great quarterback like a Peyton Manning, like a Russell Wilson, OTAs, not really voluntary. Like I said, you're not going to get fined. But that is something where if you were to miss, especially an offensive player, if you were to miss some of OTAs, boy, Peyton is certainly going to remember that. I don't know if that's going to be the case with Russ, but they are cut from a very similar cloth.
Yeah, that's a great point. There are some guys that really do look around and say, hey, you weren't here during that. We'll see how that impacts your looks going forward. Zach Stevens joining us from DNVR Broncos. What about Jerry Jeudy? Everything that I was following along with you, Zach, yesterday, Jerry was there but not participating. What's the situation there? Injuries, hold off, or are we still waiting on any new information from the arrest a couple of weeks ago? Where are we on that situation?
Yeah, yesterday was purely injury related, a little back tightness. It was described as mild to me, so it's not something to be concerned about right now. But when you just take a step back and you look at Jerry Jeudy, there's just a lot of question marks, and that's something that you can't just ignore, from off the field stuff to on the field stuff. We've talked about it all, Brady, and so this is just another thing to add to the concern list. And Brady, we're talking about it on our podcast. You know, who's going to lead the Broncos in receiving? And it really should be Jerry Jeudy. It really should be Jerry Jeudy. The talent's there, what he can do with Russ, how open he was so many times last year, and the quarterback just didn't find him. But then there's just all these things that stack up that just bring my confidence level in that down so much. So you hope that we'll see him out there next week, certainly in the next month by the time mandatory minicamp rolls around. But that's what it was yesterday.
I keep trying to just go, okay, you know, some of these are different situations. He didn't go to Russell Wilson's thing because of the birth of a child, his child. I get that. Then you have the arrest thing. We talked about it, and it's not as bad as initially, you know, we initially thought. But still, it's an arrest at the end of the day. And then you get this. When do we get to that point where we're like, come on, dude? Like every week, every month, there's something going on. Maybe they're not colossal, but they do add up.
Yeah, this is really the no-excuse season for Jerry Jeudy. 2 years ago, he didn't have good quarterback play at all. We knew that he did not like Drew Lock, at least as a quarterback on the field. And then last year, he got injured, and he was on pace for well over a 100-yard game in that first game against the Giants before suffering that high ankle sprain. And you don't come back from high ankle sprains fully the same year you suffer them. So I was still impressed when he came back a little bit with what he was able to do on the field, especially with the quarterback position at where it was. But those are two excuses, legitimate excuses, I think. But now it's no excuses at all. They're going to try to feed Jerry. Russell Wilson is now a legitimate quarterback, and this is year three for Jerry. So if it doesn't come together this year, Brady, then we truly are talking about, you know, we're talking about what the future is for Jerry on this team.
Zach Stevens joining us from DNVR Broncos. What are the other storylines? Again, what you're seeing from OTAs. You talked to us about Russell Wilson, you know, very serious about OTAs. Getting Bradley Chubb back in the mix, Kareem Jackson with graduation and that. What are the things you've got your eye on as far as position battles or anything like that early or late in this month of May?
Well, it's kind of tough with the position battles. We talked about it with running back. One of the guys isn't there, so the other guy is clearly running away with it, at least in the first OTA. And then another position battle, right tackle. That may be the most interesting one, the one with the biggest impact on the team. Billy Turner and Calvin Anderson, they both have injuries right now, so they're not participating. So it's not just Eric Tomlinson that's out there, or Tom Compton, I'm sorry. You have Ben Braden, a backup guard who is playing right tackle as well. And so you have so many mix-ups on the offensive line. You have Quinn Meinerz playing right guard. Then you have Netani Muti playing right guard. Graham Glasgow and Dalton Reisner are also getting in on the offensive line, where yesterday in practice, it really caused Russ to be running a lot. And that's not something you want to see as your quarterback running a lot. But I'll tell you what, Brady, if anyone can do it, it is Russ. While he was under so much pressure, he stayed calm. He was able to go left. He was able to go right. He was able to scramble and get some yards. And then he was also able to just throw on the run. And it puts such a strain on your defense when a quarterback's able to buy time back there. And even with this Broncos great secondary, these receivers were able to get open and find holes. And that's just going to cause such issues for opposing defenses this year.
What do you see so far? And again, there's only so much you're getting right now, Zach, but what kind of offense are you getting a feel that Hackett and Russell Wilson are going to put out there for us? Is this going to be a balanced offense, run heavy with Wilson making some big throws? What are you seeing so far?
Yeah, it's going to be the Russell Wilson offense at least this year, Brady. And what I mean by that is it's certainly going to have the Nathaniel Hackett outside zone complex to it. And I saw a lot of that yesterday. With just how they're trying to push the ball outside. But we're going to see so much play action based off of that and so much movement. And one of the things that a player told us last week was every play is designed to look the same so that defenses can't pick up on what you're doing before the snap. And then once you snap it, then everything changes. And I saw a lot of that yesterday. The trickery from this, but I do expect Russell Wilson to be throwing the ball a ton this first year or two, and then maybe they'll try to find some balance.
Zach Stevens, great work from you. Am I missing anything? Anything else stick out that you care to report?
You know, it's all Russell Wilson. And one cool little thing, Russell Wilson yesterday said Peyton Manning has taken him under his wing in a beautiful way. since coming to Denver. I think that is just music to everyone's ears here in Broncos country.
Yeah, I mean, get that combo together, those two sharing football stories and knowledge. My goodness, that's a recipe for disaster in the best way for the Broncos and the worst way for their opponents in the AFC West. Zach, my man, what are you working on that we can check out? Your podcast is rocking and rolling. Your written stuff is great. What do you have for us that we can check out at DNVR Broncos?
Man, Brady, OTAs are underway, so that means real football. So covering everything you need to know from what's going on the field on the days we get to watch practices to, of course, talking to players after. We're about to talk to some Broncos here and coming up in just 20 minutes or so.
All right, my man. Great work from you as always. We appreciate you squeezing us in.
Right on. Thanks for having me on, Brady.
All right, man. Zach Stevens, DNVR Broncos. Right tackle. That's the position to watch out for. You got Billy Turner and Calvin Anderson both battling injury stuff, but the battle is expected to go through those guys. You've got Garrett Bowles at left side. Dalton Reisner will be at the left side, left guard. Cushenberry probably starting center for now, but there might be a little bit of a battle there. Right guard Quinn Meinerz probably, and then right tackle's the battle. That's where it's going to be. The other battle was, of course, the running back situation, but as Zach pointed out, with Melvin not there, Javonte's going to earn more carries, don't you think? I don't know. I know Melvin wasn't there last year, and he got the exact same, but Javonte was a rookie. So I'm kind of with you, Jades, like, especially now. It's your job. I know the proof is in the pudding. You've been okay. You've been a good player without OTAs, but you got a new system here. Russell's saying it's time to win, and he wants guys that are going to be taking this thing seriously, and that's where he is. So I think things do change a little bit when you got a Russell Wilson. Now you got a Nathaniel Hackett. You got a new offensive mind here for this coaching staff. So, hey, we'll see how it affects everybody. 35 minutes after the hour, short break coming up. We got the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to thewholeshow.com, live from the Allo Communications Studios. It's Northern Colorado's voice. It's 103.1 at 1310 KFKA. Got our game beer of the week from On the Rocks Liquor. This one's from Breckenridge Brewing. Summer Pills Shandy. Pick up selections from Breckenridge Brewing or any of your favorite adult beverages today. You can use the drive-thru at On the Rocks Liquor. They're open until midnight every night. Free tasting going on this Friday, 4 to 7 at On the Rocks. The great folks from La Crosse Ditlinning will be on hand. I think I got that right. We'll see. Amazing stuff that they're always doing. I love this because, again, I talk about it on the show. They do support local breweries. They do support local businesses. They also branch out, though. They'll branch out past Northern Colorado and beyond. And I like they have that good balance of, hey, we're constantly supporting local, but we also want to bring in some new and interesting stuff from outside of our area as well. That's On the Rocks Liquor. Make your next celebration on the rocks. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. Method Flow Products poll question of the day. How concerned are you about a Nuggets future without Tim Conley? Meh. Very, or not at all. Most of the hooligans are kind of sitting in the, you know what, it's not that big a deal. You said that kind of, Jade. You're like, you know, it's a manager. They make big moves. They do things like that. But is it the end-all, be-all? And again, that just, I guess it just depends on the situation. You know, a lot of people can argue about John Elway and say, well, all he had to do was draft Von Miller that was right in front of him. All he had to do was sign Peyton Manning. That was right in front of him. Now, I think there was a lot more to that, and I've argued that with a lot of the hooligans here, specifically the arch nemesis of the show, Dixon. But there is sometimes being a manager, a general manager, whatever, you do fall into situations. You do your research. You're all doing a deep dive. Everybody's doing a deep dive into David Roddy. Everybody's doing a deep dive into the college class here. Some of those deep dives are going to prove that you're a genius. Some of those deep dives are going to prove that you wasted a lot of time. Some of those deep dives are going to prove that you don't know how to evaluate talent. And in this case, Tim Conley has been very good at evaluating talent because when it stacks, that's the thing to pay attention to, folks. When it stacks. When you look at draft class after draft class and you go, wow, that one worked out. Okay, that one's a big piece to the puzzle. Okay, that guy's good. And then, you know, he made the trade to get Aaron Gordon here. He hired Michael Malone. Drafted Bones Highland recently. I mean, there's a lot to be said of what Tim Connelly has done. And if you are concerned, you know, you're looking at going, okay, this was supposed to be the window, right? Many are saying this, Jades. This is the most important offseason in Denver Nuggets history. Why is that? Because you've never had this caliber of player before where you have a responsibility to him, your fan base, and the NBA. You got to do right by your superstar. We all trash on those teams that have great players and never do any. Look at Damian Lillard. Everybody feels so bad for him, right? They all look at the Portland Trailblazers and they say, oh man, that guy is just in a no-win situation. He's in a bad spot. He's never going to get out of it. He's a great player, but that's a terrible organization. Nothing's going to work for him. And we all put pressure on those teams and say, man, you got to get out of Portland. You don't want to be that team that outside fans are going, man, Joker's got to get out of Denver. You want to be the team like Golden State where they're saying, man, those guys got to join Joker and the Nuggets. That would be a nice addition. I mean, you got Zach LaVine saying, I always want to be a Laker. I mean, you want to hear more and more of those players saying, I want to be there as opposed to, I want Joker to be here. There's a lot of responsibility on the line for Calvin Booth and the Nuggets organization this offseason.
Well, and you already have another Colorado team that did drop the ball with their superstar in the Rockies with Nolan Arenado.
It's true. I mean, we can talk about that situation all day long, about what they did or didn't do, about Nolan's attitude. Bottom line is, they didn't do enough around him. Had they done enough around him, would that have changed his mind? Seemed like he was kind of ready to go early, but I agree with you. If you bring in top-notch this, and this, then maybe it changes everything. You're right. That's a great point. Because you see that. You are constantly seeing these stories throughout the leagues, and you don't want the Nuggets to be there. Yeah, Joker's going to sign with the Nuggets, but now it's your responsibility to figure out what to do with this offseason. If Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. are going to be the guys, and we believe that still, right? I'm hesitant, but I still believe it, I think. Michael Porter Jr. is a big question mark. Jamal Murray is not a question mark. I just don't know how good he can be. I don't know what his ceiling is. Has he hit it? Did he hit his head on the ceiling in the bubble and then come down to real life? That's what my fear is. But that's a lot. You're counting on that. What are you doing with Will Barton? And if Michael Porter Jr. is not the guy, and let's say you do want to start Murray at one, you don't try my experiment, and you're going to need a wing guy, you're going to need a two guy, who's that going to be? I mean, is that, if you go Jamal Murray, Michael Porter Jr., Aaron Gordon, Joker, who's your two guy? And that guy better be a damn good three-point shooter, because that's what you need if you're Nicole. Listen, watching the Joker, don't you just think the more weapons he can have that can shoot the ball? And I'm not talking about Aaron Gordon driving and dunking and hitting guys underneath the basket. Joker can find those guys too, but you already have that with Gordon. And you might have it, you know, you might have it with a few other guys on this team. But you need weapons that he can pull out of his utility belt that he's using constantly. Oh, I'm double down here. Bam, I'll go opposite. I'll go corner opposite here. Find a three-point shooter. Oh, they got him covered. They got me doubled, and they're watching the passing lanes between me and MPJ. Bam, I got so-and-so on this side. I'm spreading out the floor. The Nuggets can't spread out the floor with the roster as it's constructed right now outside of Murray and MPJ. Morris is a good player. He's not a threat. He's not, like, great at anything, though. He's good. He's not a great three-point shooter. Bones is fun to watch. Nobody on this team is, like, a great three-point shooter outside of MPJ. Texter here. Pull off Luka. You can be enshrined. Porter or Murray can go. I mean, look at Luka's contract, dude. He's not going anywhere. Everybody keeps bringing this up. He signed through 2026, man. He's making 47 mil. In 26, 27, he's going to make $47 million. Dallas just made it to the Western Conference Finals. Tell me why that's good business to trade away Luka Doncic. It's not. it won't happen. They're in the they're in a point where they've got to figure out their contracts. Now you look at Luka, he's going to need some help. He's going to need extra players that can come in and give him help take him to the next level. Denver's got an interesting offseason. Golden State's not going anywhere. Listen, Curry's locked up. Klay Thompson's locked up for 2 years at least. Andrew Wiggins, you got him next year, and then a decision's going to need to be made. Draymond Green's locked up. Kevon Looney's going to be a free agent. That's their big one, I guess. Free agent signing. They can find a center. They can find another big man to replace him with. Iggy's probably done. Otto Porter Jr., who's, I think, out. He's his free agent. Fine player. Gary Payton II, who's out now, but he showed some spurts. Golden State, right, bottom line is they're going to be there next year. Phoenix, Chris Paul and Devin Booker are locked up. DeAndre Ayton's a free agent. He's a free agent. I hear that there's interesting things going on between him and that organization. That's a game changer, I believe, for them. But the bottom line is you're just looking at, okay, the Warriors and then who else? Who's in front of Denver when they have their fully healthy team? Denver should be a Western Conference Finals team. 49 minutes after the hour. Let's get to what's on TV tonight. Speaking of NBA, tonight, can Golden State end this thing against the Mavericks? We'll talk about it next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFK.
Keep it tuned to Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA for Preps Baseball.
Hi, I'm Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Golden State's up 3-0 over Dallas, and it's in Dallas tonight. I mean, I don't feel like the Mavs have the firepower. I mean, this is, again, if Golden State goes on and wins this thing tonight, then I think this is a bigger testament to what the Nuggets actually did do against the Warriors. Because Dallas has been kind of blown out in this, for most of these games. I mean, game one, it was 112-87. And then game two, it was, let's see. I'm trying to find it here. Where is it? It's right in front of me. They win, 112-87, 126-117, 109-100. And if you're watching those games, none of them really felt that close at the end. In fact, Golden State came back from 20-point deficits to ultimately end up running away with things. Now, against Denver, first game, they absolutely got smoked. Second game, they got smoked. Denver was up. I think they were close at the half, and then they gave away those crazy runs to Golden State. Game three was a five-point game, was a one-possession game with like 30 seconds left, if you'll remember. Denver won game four, and then game five, they lost by four. It was, again, a one-possession game late. So Denver was there. You know what? Go ahead and run this one out, Golden State. I think they're winning the championship, so you might as well just get this one taken care of. It does look better for the Nuggets. Big questions ahead for the Denver Nuggets. We'll see what happens with Calvin Booth and company. The Rockies are going at it with Pittsburgh. I said they got to win this series. Well, that means they got to win the next two games. They need to beat bad teams because June's going to suck. You need to build yourself some cushion here. It's going to be rough. And the Avs probably going to close this thing out tomorrow in Colorado. That's awesome. That's fantastic. Get past that pesky second round once and for all. Betting Across America is coming up next. We got Rockies and Pittsburgh, Colorado and Pittsburgh coming up this afternoon. Good night, Northern Colorado.